the fire, I said sure. Hebrews chapter number 11. I want you to look over there with me. The Lord really burdened my heart about this, to give this to you tonight. And I knew that we would be short on time, but I believe I can give it to you in a few minutes and give you the substance of it, and believe it will help you as a child of God. I preached a series a couple of Sunday mornings on the subject of being an overcomer. And I'd like to give you a few illustrations of people who were overcomers in the Bible. And over the next few weeks, as the Lord leads. But I want to look at Moses tonight, and I want you to look with me in Hebrews 11, give you some serious principles about his life. And I want you to look with me, please, in Hebrews 11. And let's begin in verse number 23. Of course, this is not about him here as much as it is about his mother and father. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And sometimes you do have to resist the powers that be in order to do the perfect will of God. And his parents were wise enough to recognize that. And verse number 24, we pick up his life now, and I want you to notice something about him. First of all, if you're going to be an overcomer, the principle of identification is critical. The principle of identification is critical. Who am I? What am I? Who do I belong to? Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, the Bible says, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with who? The people of God. Way back then, there was a difference between us and them. Daylight and dark. Believers and unbelievers. And so he identifies himself. And listen, young folks, please. You need to answer this question. What am I? Am I a believer? Am I a child of God? My follower of Jesus Christ. Then say it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Say it to somebody. Say it to yourself in the mirror. I am a child of the King. I belong to Him. Say it. Believe it. And not only who am I, but who am I with? Identify yourself with the people of God. Moses was an overcomer because he understood who he was. He was not an Egyptian. Amen. I am not an Egyptian. I am not of the world. I am of the Lord, and I am a child of God, and I am identified with the people of God, Amen. Believers in the one true God. So don't be ashamed. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should not be ashamed of who and what you are. Then you'll notice something else. Not only his identification, but his prioritization. It says choosing. Did you know that God wants you to choose him? The Calvinists want to emphasize that he chose you. But the Bible predominantly wants you to choose him. He says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Elijah, on Mount Carmel, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Hey, if Baal be God, then serve him. But if the Lord be God, then serve him. But choose. Choose. Prioritize your life. And he says here in verse number 20, and if you're going to be an overcomer, you better make up your mind and not be double-minded. Prioritize and say, you know what? I choose to suffer. And by the way, it is the will of God that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that you also suffer for his name's sake. The disciples rejoiced that they had the chance to suffer for his name's sake. But you have to prioritize your life in your choices and choosing the Lord, choosing the Lord. Then notice the third principle here is his estimation. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And he had seen all that Egypt had to offer. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So he, have you ever heard of this show on TV that's been popular for a number of years called Pawn Stars? This is a group of guys in Las Vegas, and people bring all kinds of stuff into their store. Very interesting background on some of the stuff that they bring. They might bring guitars, they might bring pictures, they might bring rings, they might bring a car, they might bring a motorcycle. But when they get there, it always has to be estimated of its value. And when they go in, the person who's bringing what they want money for, they have their own idea of what it's worth. And then the guys behind the counter, they have their idea of what it's worth. And if they haggle about it, then they'll probably call, quote, an expert to come in to see whether or not this picture maybe of General Lee is a or someone like that is real, or if it's authentic, or if it's a duplicate. And so they'll have a guy come in, he'll look at it, and he'll talk about it, about how smart he is, of course, and he'll evaluate it. And then he'll determine whether or not, hey, this thing is worth $5 or $5,000. And so they'll determine that. And so what I want to show you here in verse number 26 is that Moses had the chance to evaluate Egypt. All their gods. He saw all their gods and how weak they were. You could see them. By the way, all the plagues had something to do with some of their gods. All the plagues that the Lord brought into Egypt destroyed all of Egyptian gods because they were powerless. So he evaluated this. He says, well, these are visible gods, but they cannot talk, they cannot hear, they cannot help. And when he was on the backside of the desert, the true and living God, whom his parents had told him about, and whom his sister had told him about, who his brother had told him about, that stuck with him, spoke to him. And he believed. And look, he estimated and said, you know what? Now I could be a rich man, I could be a wealthy man, and I could die in pleasure and with power and positions. I'm looking at this. He says, but you know what? I'm looking over here. I'm looking at what the true God has to offer. I can either take what is, what you might say, I can be here for a short time. What's the word I'm looking for? Temporary. Or I can focus on what is eternal and permanent. All right. So look at this. Now I want to show you a verse. Hold your hand right there. Look over to the left of your Bible to Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse number 35. Look at this. That word recompense of reward. It means you have evaluated something and you have determined that this is of great value. Look at verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence which hath great recompense of reward. Do you see that? All right. And he says up in verse number 34, for ye had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. So he considered a good name, a heavenly home, and a heavenly city, and eternity with God to be more valuable than the riches of Egypt. Now, I've not ever been tempted to be a millionaire. And what I mean is, nobody's ever said, you know, Brother Roger, if you would just quit preaching the Bible, we will write you a check for $1 million. I mean, really. Now, you know, you can laugh about that, joke about that, but not really a serious temptation. Nobody's going to do that. Moses had a serious temptation. The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil, offered the whole world and its pleasures and its riches. And he said, I'm going to serve only the Lord God, only him. All right. So he estimated some things. And I'm just telling you, as a young person, I'm thinking about Aaron. I'm thinking about Ethan. Thinking about Abigail. Thinking about Marcia. I think about Zach. I think about Michael. I think about young people with the future ahead of you, as far as you know, even though you know not what a day may bring forth. At your age, I estimated those things. And I evaluated those things. And I felt like that following the Lord and doing the will of God was of greater value than pursuing my own ambitions. And it's brought me to Texas. It's taken me around the world. But I didn't know that. I had no idea that it didn't take me out of Monroe County when I made that decision that the will of God is greater than anything else in the whole wide world. And once you get that down in your heart and in your mind, you can be an overcomer. No matter what comes your way, being in God's will has taken Brother Ed and Miss Debbie around the world. I'm not saying it's going to take you around the world. It may not take you across the block. But being in the will of God, it'll give you some grit. It'll give you something to stand up on and say, hey, I am going to do God's will. Some of you men are facing some hard decisions because of an oppressive and ungodly government. I pray that you'd want the will of God above all things. Last of all, go back to Hebrews 11. Look again. Verse number 27. He identified himself. He prioritized some things. He estimated some things. Boy, I think about Joseph right there. When he was tempted to be unfaithful or to take advantage of his boss's wife. And he said, I'm not going to do that. He said, I'd rather be right with God. He evaluated that situation. He said, that pleasure is not worth me being in trouble with God. How about that? Now look here, verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. See, you say, yeah, but he ran away. No, that's not talking about that time. He's talking about when he went back in there and faced Pharaoh, and he said, God, you let my people go. He was not afraid of Pharaoh at that time. He said, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. Here you see his endurance now, as seeing him who is invisible. And you can overcome, no matter where you are and what you're facing, if you will see him who is invisible. Now, you'll notice in verse number 28, it motivated him to be obedient. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed their firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea. I'd say he faced some pretty hard situations right there and made it through them pretty good because he believed in him whom he could not see. Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the visible image of the invisible God? Did you know that? And the scripture here says that he endured, not running, but enduring. And I believe that when we kneel before God, we can stand before men. And he did. You can endure some things. You can overcome some things. If you'll kneel before God, I'll show you one more verse and then we'll close. Would you turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 1 real quick? Nehemiah chapter number 1. Nehemiah chapter number 1. You'll find that over there close to the book of Job and Esther, past the book of Psalms. Look at Nehemiah chapter number 1. When you kneel before God, you can be like Daniel and stand before men, not be afraid, even if it means you may be cast into the lion's den. You might be like the three Hebrew boys who said, we will not bow. No matter what you do to us, we will not bow. He said, we will not. We know that our God, he is able. And he may not deliver us, but he can. He's able. And if he chooses not to, we will not bow to you. I love that. I love that courage and that strength. Nehemiah chapter number 1, if you'll read this passage when you get home or tomorrow, you'll find that he's pouring his heart out to God in prayer. And when you pour your heart out to God in prayer about something that is important to you, you'll notice here that God puts things in perspective for you. Puts it in perspective for you. If you think what you're facing is too big, I think that David faced a great, great, large giant that everybody else was afraid of, who said he was too big to fight. David saw him as a man too big to miss because he had it in perspective. Look in Nehemiah chapter 1, look in verse 11. He said, now remember, now he's a cupbearer for the king, and he's got to deal with some things. He's got a burden on his heart. Verse 11 says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. In other words, he saw the king as just this man. That if God would help him, if God would touch him, the king was just this man. Even though king had power in those days, just his word, your head's off, he called him this man. And I'm saying that whatever you're facing, whatever it is that you need to overcome, follow these principles as best that you can. And I did want to give you one more verse before we go to the house. Turn back to 1 John chapter 5, and I promise you this is the last one. Let's read this together. But identify yourself, prioritize some things in your heart, choose to serve the Lord. You know, if you make some of the simple choices in life about serving the Lord, you don't have to make a lot of other choices when temptations come your way. Amen. Estimate what is valuable to you. Endure some things that God's going to send your way and allow to come your way by seeing him who is invisible. I cannot see the wind, but I know when the wind's around. I cannot see God, but I sure can see him working in men's hearts. And I can sense it when he's working in my heart. Look at 1 John 5. The Bible says in verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Are you born of God tonight? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? Who is he that overcometh Egypt? Who is he in this life here that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, believing the record that God has left of his Son. You must be born again. If you're going to be an overcomer, you have to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So I want to say to our young people, identify yourself. Quit hobnobbing with the world and trying to like both sides. You can't do that. Prioritize your life. Choose who you're going to serve. Estimate the things that matter the most, which are the things of God, things that won't perish. And endure some things by seeing him who is invisible. Invisible. There was a song they used to sing over in Cajun land, and I think I've heard it here in Texas from time to time. And the lyrics of this, it says, there is an unseen hand to me that leads through ways I cannot see. While going through a world of care, his unseen hand will guide us there. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by the unseen hand. Nehemiah referred several times to the hand of God being on his life. The unseen hand. I pray that you would choose to be an overcomer. Not a victim, but an overcomer. Let's stand together, please. Thank you for your time tonight.